Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
What's up, people? Once again, this is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All. And I'm joined today by a newcomer, a guy who I know real knowledgeable about sports. Me and him have many arguments and different conversations about football, basketball, the whole nine. But I'd like to introduce Mr. Larry McGillicuddy. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
All right. Man, I'm glad to have you on the show, man. It's been a long time. Been trying to set it up as far as us connecting on one, man. So
yeah, definitely.
And now that I got you on here, man, the first thing I got to speak to you about, man, because I know you're a big Miami Hurricane fan.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 on ESPN about the U?
I did. And there were certain things I liked about it and certain things I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the first person that's had a few problems with it. I want to hear.
Well, I loved the stuff at the start, especially with Schnellenberger,
mm-hmm.
and you know, talking about how he was the first to really start recruiting the inner city, and he wasn't afraid to go into the inner city and recruit kids, and how that kind of changed, you know, and how he, you know, it was pretty cool. He set out a 5-year plan and it worked. And then
right.
It was really interesting because I honestly I was pretty young when it happened, so I never knew why he resigned. I thought he figured, well, I just won the championship. There's nothing more I can do. So I never knew the details. I never knew he tried to get involved in the USFL, and that didn't work.
Oh,
and it's a shame. Yeah, it's a shame because it just seems like, you know, he could have been, like, if he had stayed there, he could have been like the Bobby Bowden for the Hurricanes.
I would say to probably even greater success.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had to start over with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson was using it as a stepping stone. Schnellenberger never seemed to want to be a head coach in the NFL. He certainly could have at some
right.
point if he really wanted to push that. So if he had wanted, he seems to really like being in college. So if he had stayed and done that, who knows what could have happened, you know?
Yeah, the USFL guys sold him real good
yeah.
on what they were doing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it ended up being one of the, you know, worst career moves in sports in years,
yeah.
but they sold them real good, and they kind of went into it a little bit on the USFL 30 for 30.
Right.
Which
yeah.
Was
yeah.
Also
yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really good. The only parts I didn't like, I didn't really like the way they had the interview set up. Kind of a little too flashy and stylized. It just seemed, I don't know. I would have liked. I think what I didn't like is that there should have been more game footage. There were a lot of great moments that didn't make it in there. I know there was a game where they were playing Michigan, and they were down 30-14 with like 4 minutes left. Scored 2 TDs, got an onside kick, and kicked the field goal to win it. I mean, that was a huge game because both were in the top 5 at the time. They just didn't go into a lot of stuff like that a lot, and it just seemed like a lot too much of people talking about what happened instead of showing what happened, you know.
Yeah, I think their emphasis, what's his name, Bill Simmons has a podcast about it. He kind of talked about
right.
it. I think their main thing was just the culture change and just how
right.
different it was to people. And now when you look back on it, it's really not all that shocking as far as what they were doing. But at the time,
right.
you know,
well,
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I like how they pointed out some, like, you know, hypocrisy. Like they would talk, like they were mad when Miami was running it up on Notre Dame. And then they pointed out how, you know, you've seen Notre Dame in the past putting 50-0 on everybody, you know. And they've always
yep.
been wiping people out. So, but when Miami was doing it, you know, people don't like that, you know.
Right, right.
And it's like, I never understood, you know, Randall Hill runs through the tunnel. I never understood why that's so bad. I mean, they act like, you know, he punched a fan or something, you know. I mean, he's showing off, but I mean, I don't. To me, I didn't think that was a big deal.
Yeah, back then everything was buttoned down, man, I guess. So
yeah.
Anything outside of the norm was considered, I don't know, a new age and uncivilized
yeah.
or something. That was crazy, the way they reacted there.
Yeah, it seems like some people want to get back to that point, you know. Like, with,
yeah.
I hate all these celebration penalties. It's the dumbest, it's the worst penalty
right.
that can be called. And what I understand is they only call that on a touchdown. the same thing that gets you a penalty after scoring a touchdown. If a guy gets a sack, he does all sorts of crazy. I see you guys always do all sorts of crazy stuff when they get sacks. You know, they wind their arms up, they do these dances. They never get flagged. There's no celebration penalty for that. It's only when you score a touchdown. To me, it's like, if you're going to do that, then the only time you should be able to celebrate is when you do score a touchdown, because that's a big deal, you know?
Right.
So I don't,
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, well, to be honest, man, me looking at it, I feel like it shouldn't be just a uniform penalty as far as, okay, if you do this in the end zone, it's a celebration penalty. It should be, to me, by the referee's interpretation. If something, if somebody goes over the top and it's something ridiculous, then you give them a penalty. That way, you know, if somebody does something, they're taking a chance on doing it, and it's not guaranteed that it's going to be a, you know, a big penalty for them scoring. I mean, it's just emotion, man.
Right, and I mean, like, I can understand some of it. Like, you know, when well, who was it that was it T.O. that pulled a cell phone out?
No, that was Joe Horn.
Joe Horn, right.
Yeah.
He pulled a cell phone out. I mean, I could understand a penalty for something like that. But, you know, do you remember the game, was it the, yeah, last year, where Washington was playing BYU. And they came back and they were about to tie it, and they scored a touchdown to get within one, like with no time left on the clock. And Locker had scored it, and he threw the ball up in the air. He just threw it really high in the air. They gave him a penalty for that. That's the lamest penalty, one of the lamest penalties I've seen.
And the one on Georgia this year, A.J. Green.
Oh, yeah, that was – yeah. I mean, what, those guys are not doing anything that impacts the game. They're not doing anything that cheapens the game. To me, that's just people really enjoying the game. And that doesn't
right.
– I mean, that's – I don't – neither of those are really showing off. You score a touchdown, you're happy.
You're giving a guy a penalty for something that you're going to use within a couple of years to promote
the game.
It'll be, you know what I mean? It'll be in the commercials or whatever to promote the game, but you're going to give him a penalty.
But you can do this Lambo leap at Green Bay. Now, they're never going to flag that because people would go nuts in Green Bay if they started flagging that, you know? But, I mean, that's worse than a lot of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I've never understood. I mean, I hate stuff like that. The penalty should really be stuff about that impacts the game, unless it's really over the line.
No, I agree 100%, man. But
since
you brought up Green Bay, man, I mean, there's no reason why we can't go into it, man. I mean, the Green Bay Arizona game last night, man. That was one of the best football games I ever seen, though.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Crazy as it was, as bad as it was defensively, it was still good TV, man.
Yeah, it was. That was really, really good. The only thing, and you know, it kind of hasn't got too much attention, but I honestly think there should have been a flag on that final play.
The face mask at the end. Yeah. I mean,
I've seen less than that get called all the time. And if that's Tom Brady, that gets called. You know what I mean?
Oh. Guaranteed that gets called.
Yeah,
Tom
so
Brady,
it's like
that flag is out there.
So yeah, I mean that was too bad that it ended. I mean, you still got to hold on to the ball. You know, I mean, so it's still part of the game. I've always said that, Lo. I know there was like a going back to Miami. There was like a game when they first started to come back under Butch Davis, and they upset UCLA when UCLA was going undefeated, trying to win the national title.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the game where Edgerrin James ran for like 299 yards.
Okay.
And there was like a key fumble in that game where it wasn't really a fumble. The UCLA guy, he lost the ball, but his knee was down first. And people were like, oh, we got, you know, UCLA's like, well, we got robbed and stuff like that. Well, it was a bad call, I admit that. But the thing I try to point out is you still have to try to not fumble the ball, you know. Even if it's close, you need to hold on to the ball at all costs because you can't trust the referees to always make the right call.
And that's what Green Bay got a dose of yesterday.
Right.
And to be honest, when you go into overtime, especially NFL, there's two ways you could take it. You could take it as, okay, this first series, we're going to take a shot downfield, or we're going to concentrate on making a drive and getting this field goal.
Yeah.
They took that big shot downfield, and then they were kind of, you know, behind the eight ball because Aaron Rodgers, he missed it barely, but he missed that, which would have been a game-ending touchdown. But
well, the announcers pointed out, too, that they seem not to be on the same page. The guy runs a route a little bit more to the right that's right on him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't flatten the route out enough. But you never know what, you know. So, like, plays like that are pretty hard. That's why I'm always impressed when I see QBs that can heave it downfield with accuracy. Because you and the QB and the wide receiver really have to be on the same page to understand exactly where he's going to break and where he's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Those two guys were on top of their game last night, though. Kurt Warner and Aaron Rodgers, man. They were putting it in places, you know, other people definitely can't do, especially, you know, contrasting it with the other games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just some ugly football. That's why that made up for, like, a really bad weekend of football.
Well, Baltimore threw the ball 10 times, you know what I mean? That was some crazy stuff going on.
That was amazing. I mean, the first play of the game, Ray Rice just went through.
I mean, they flat out punched the Patriots in the mouth, and the Patriots didn't have anything, didn't have any answer.
Nope.
And once again, Brady looked bad when he was getting hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He was overthrowing people.
I think the book is out now.
Yeah.
You know, I think the book is out now. The Giants, you know, well, I mean, it was exposed during that season, you know. They were dominating, and then at the end of the season, they started not to dominate so much. They had a lot of close calls. The Eagles, the Ravens, they both showed how to beat them. And the Giants did it in the Super Bowl. You know, they all had the blueprint, and the Giants just took advantage.
Yeah, and it kind of shows, though. You know, I've always been a guy looking at it like, okay, Moss, double-teaming Moss is going to give Wes Welker a lot of room to work.
Right.
But the other side of that is, with no Welker there, and you just sit and double Moss and dare the rest of them to beat you, hell, looks like you got a pretty good chance of beating them.
Yeah.
Without Welker in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Edelman can play good, but
I still think the key, I still think you got to double Moss and let Welker get his. That's what the Giants did. Welker had, 11 catches in that game?
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl. But Randy Moss did. He had, two or three catches. So,
yep.
So, I mean, I think you've got to, sometimes you got to pick your poison. And I think a lot of teams that year were trying to take away both of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not going to be able to do that, you know.
Right. And trying to mix up coverages, that's actually playing to their strengths, man, because Brady's so good at reading coverages and what you're doing. So if he has time and you're just switching it up, he's going to keep carving you up.
Yeah, he'll find out which one you're not focusing on. So.
So yeah,
but
that
yeah,
was
I mean,
a surprise though, to me.
Yeah, I didn't expect
them
to beat
surprised?
Up. Yeah, I didn't expect them to beat up on the Patriots that much. I thought the Ravens would win, because I don't think the Patriots are really that good this year.
No.
I mean, you know, I mean, they skated by Buffalo in that season opener. You know, they got lucky. And they had some close calls during the year, and then I don't know. I was never impressed with them. I mean, the 59-0 in Tennessee. Tennessee gave up way early in that game. That meant nothing.
Yeah.
And they won some games, like they just blew teams out, and people were like, oh well, Brady's back, and they're all set. And then he dropped some easy game. He dropped some games that he should have won, and had. I mean, he made a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes. You know, like against the Dolphins, he throws interceptions in the end zone. He throws an interception as he's being sacked. He throws it straight down the middle of the field, right to a linebacker. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing he wasn't doing in the past.
Oh, go ahead.
I wonder if he's kind of getting frustrated that it's not coming as easy to him as it used to.
Yeah, I'm sure some of that, and then also you know, that Carson Palmer thing of that injury. He's definitely still trying to get it used to the way his body moves now as opposed to before.
Yeah.
Looking at Carson Palmer, man, it looks like he still hasn't been the same.
No, I don't think. I mean, that's a shame. I mean, that's your first playoff pass and it goes for a TD, you know, and then you're out for what he missed. How long did he miss? The whole year, right?
I'm not sure. No, I think he came back that next year and really struggled, and he just hasn't really. This has been his best year, but he's been off and on injured ever since.
Yeah.
But
it helped that Ochocinco had a terrific year.
Yeah.
This is his first year in a while. He's really lived up to the hype, you know.
Right.
He played really well this year, so.
Up against Revis, boy. Revis put it on him, boy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the Jets played pretty good, and I give it to Sanchez. He had a great game. He was 18 of 21 or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a good game, but I still think, you know, to me it's still like you had, you know, now everyone's like, oh, well, you know, obviously Sanchez was right and Pete Carroll was wrong, you know, about, you know, Pete Carroll, like, criticized him for leaving early. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, well, he got a really good situation. That doesn't
exactly.
necessarily mean he's going to – I mean, he might pan out, but it doesn't necessarily mean so. He had a 63 QB rating. So
I think he's going to pan out, but like you said – he doesn't have optimal conditions like that,
yeah.
going to the Jets with a line and a running game
yeah.
and everything else.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
I mean
look at how good Aaron Rodgers was this year with no line. I mean, that line was awful this year. It got a little bit better at the end of the year, and they went on a run. But he was
yeah.
getting sacked like crazy. In the games against the Vikings, they could not block Jared Allen?
Jared Allen?
They
oh,
could not.
Man.
He just moved in the backfield whenever he wanted. It was ridiculous.
yeah.
So
I think that's
if Green Bay gets a line, if they give Rodgers time to throw, it's going to be over because teams can't match up. You saw them just destroying Arizona with Finley.
Mhm.
You know, teams
Finley,
can't match up with him.
He's the next big thing as far as tight
yeah.
end. He's the next
yeah.
big thing.
Yeah,
I think they need a back too. They got to bring in somebody to give Grant
yeah.
some competition because Grant. He doesn't look like a, you know, a every year Pro Bowler type back.
Well, again, that also helps with your pass blocking too. You know, the pass rushers come a little slower when they're worried about the running back because they don't want him to slip by them. You know, so a good back.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing about football is when you try to pin everything on one guy. There's just so many factors that go into it. And I always laugh when they're like, oh, look at this guy. He's such a winner when he's throwing a touchdown pass to a wide-open guy, you know. I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? That was good. He threw a touchdown pass, but the guy was wide open, you know.
And I think a lot of that can be really viewed when you look at Romo, man. Say what you will about, you know, the talent that Dallas has had the last couple of years.
Right.
But, I mean, that offensive line has not played like it has this year, the last couple of years. I mean, they're opening up
right.
holes in the running game. Romo's
right.
got time, and
definitely.
The less he improvises, the better he is.
I don't think people understand how much. It's not even like sometimes you know people judge it by sacks. It's not even really about sacks because some quarterbacks can have a better release and they can get rid of the ball quicker and avoid sacks. So you can't really judge an offensive line by sacks. What you want to judge it is how much time is the quarterback getting. Because whether a quarterback has a slow release or a quick release, every second he gets is another more chance he gets to find an open guy.
Right.
So I mean that's the real judge of a line is how much time is he given that? Because a cornerback cannot guard no cornerback can guard a receiver forever.
Right.
You know
right.
if the receiver keeps running around, he will get open. So. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's like if you think back to David Carr in Houston.
Yeah.
I'm sure that first year he probably went to his third read twice that whole season.
Right, right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, he didn't have time.
Right.
And then after a while, you're rushing through those first two progressions. So, I mean,
right.
everything starts to snowball, and before you know it, you got one of the worst passing games in the league.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, you know, guys like Montana and Aikman. I'm not taking – I mean, they were obviously great. You could tell they were really good. But these guys had tons of time to throw, not only because people were worried about their running game, but the line was so good. You know, Novacek, you know, Aikman was able to check off Irvin. You know, I mean, you know, Alvin Harper, when he went to Tampa Bay, he was terrible, you know.
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything in Tampa Bay. And part of that might be because he needed to be on a team where the quarterback has time to get to him because that's all
right.
he was really a deep burner. He wasn't going to do it 8 yards out. That's kind of a waste of him. So, but,
like
I mean,
Randy.
Right, exactly. So when you have Aikman can wait 7 seconds, Alvin Harper is going to be open eventually, you know? So, and that's the problem you saw with Cutler this year.
Yeah.
Cutler, you know, he tried to do too much. He threw a lot of picks. And then he tried. I think a lot of times this year he was trying to overcorrect, and then he was too afraid to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are panicking a little too early on him. I think if Chicago builds a little bit better support around him, they'll be set.
So better support and a better offense coordinator because they had old Ron Turner, man. And
Yeah. Well, didn't they let him go? I thought they fired.
Oh yeah, he's gone now. But this year he definitely had Cutler out there with his same old Ron Turner. Ron Turner stuff that's made Chicago fans crazy the last couple of years.
But I mean, the thing is that people are like, oh, he throws all these interceptions. But look, Cutler was never a guy that was only going to throw five picks a year. You know, if you wanted a guy that wasn't going to throw picks, you shouldn't have got Cutler. Cutler threw picks in Denver. But the thing is, Chicago hasn't had in decades hasn't had a really good playmaking quarterback.
Right.
That's what they wanted. They wanted that. So you take the interceptions, but if you can get a couple touchdowns for every pick, then you'll be set.
And not to mention, he's going to improve along with the cast around him. He's going to improve.
Definitely.
He's still young.
Yeah.
He's still young.
Yeah. So
he's
used to
taking a beating.
Right. But I don't know. I think he'll be. He played good in the final couple games of the year. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he.
Is big.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the best games this year. That Vikings game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought Favre had done it again. I'm still questioning the Vikings.
Oh, definitely.
But
they got everything they wanted this year.
Yeah.
Childress got his extension, so he got everything he wanted out of it. But I still feel like it's not over. We might see one of those Favre games with a couple of fun balls pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm fully expecting one to happen. But if he doesn't, I will definitely congratulate the man because he will have proved everybody wrong.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yep, I mean, maybe it was just the injury last year. He's obviously playing good, so.
Yeah, but
he's obviously not too old to play, so.
Yeah, but that goes back to that ability of the team also.
Oh, yeah,
like last year he was playing when in a different offense. They didn't have many weapons on offense. This year he's playing with a solid offense in his old scheme. So, I mean.
Yeah, and they've got so much talent at you know, just not just Peterson, but, you know, at wide receiver. So.
Yeah.
So, it's, yeah, I mean.
Sidney Rice.
Yeah, he's going to be a good one.
Florida. Yeah, I mean, that's.
I remember Rice in college. He with South Carolina. He was pretty good.
Yeah. It was surprising to see him struggle so much.
Yeah.
But Favre showed if a real quarterback is there.
Yeah.
He makes plays.
Yep.
Are you surprised about Pete Carroll to Seattle?
Not really. I mean, what else can he do at USC?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's pretty much done what he can do. He might be smelling trouble in the future, you know. That's what I've heard. Some people have speculated he might be smelling something, but you know, I think he always, I think he always wanted to go back to the NFL.
Right.
You know, I think he, you know, he thought he could. I mean, and to be fair, he wasn't that bad.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, he was average. They were like 8-8, 9-7. They won a playoff game once. You know.
Yeah, two games over 500 isn't bad.
Yeah. So I mean, so we'll see what he can do in Seattle. Who knows? I mean. He is going to have trouble. You know, he's going to have to adjust to that and realize, well, you know, I don't have this big talent superiority. And that's the problem Spurrier had. His system was based on having talent superiority and maxing that out. You have four wide receivers running 4-4 and 4-5, and you know that the other team doesn't have corners that can run that. Someone's going to be open, you know.
Spurrier almost
so that,
got one
that's,
of those boys killed, man.
I know, right? So I don't know. I mean – I think he can do good at Seattle, but it'll be interesting to see the fallout at USC. There, I've already heard that they've been losing some recruits.
Yeah, and think about this though: if you're a big time coach, do you want to go to USC if you think there's some type of hammer coming down from the NCAA? Is that a good job to take now?
Right.
So I mean,
they'll tell you who's
going to
benefit the most from this. The team that's going to benefit the most from this is UCLA.
Oh, definitely. I know Neuheisel had a party, man.
Yeah, they're gonna start getting some of them recruits. Neuheisel, you know, he's gonna bend some rules, as he always does. He's gonna be getting some guys in there. It'll be interesting. I mean, look, if Kiffin can get away with what he's done so far, then the new hustle won't have a problem. I can't believe, I mean, all the stuff that Kiffin has already done, that's just the stuff we know about, you know. Who knows what's really going on behind the scenes there.
What are your thoughts on Shanahan in Washington, man? I'm looking at this like one of the biggest mistakes they could make. Not in the sense that Shanahan's not a good coach, because I think he is. But I don't think he's the guy who they're making him out to be as far as giving him the whole Bill Parcells package. You know what I mean? Putting everything in his hands. They tried that in Denver.
Yeah. Well, my question is that really going to happen? This is Snyder, after all. So is he really going
to
have
For what he paid him, he has to.
I don't know. I mean, but when things start to go, I mean, that's always a great plan to start. But when things start to go south, you know, Snyder going to start saying, no, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Well,
so
if it goes real bad, he'll try to rein him in. But
yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
real bad.
yeah, he's going to – I mean, he's another guy. Shanahan is another guy that's always had pretty good talent to work with, you know. So Denver was already pretty good when he got there, pretty much.
Right.
So,
no Elway,
I mean,
no TD, no Super
yeah,
Bowl.
No, yeah, exactly. So, so it'll be interesting to see if he can build a team from scratch. You know, you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback to start with. You don't have, you know, a lot of the other stuff that he had going on there. So it'll be interesting, but it will be hard because that's a tough division.
Yep.
You know, you always know the Eagles are going to be good. I don't know what happened to the Giants this year. That was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
They laid down those last two games. They just didn't play. That was just embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, I think old boy is kind of finally being drowned out as far as listening, man. He might have ran his course as far as all the hollering and screaming. Coughlin might have to remake himself out there or might be dumb for him. But with that Shanahan thing, I'm wondering about Jason Campbell because I'm looking at this season like if he's able to have a little bit of success, then he might either stay there or get a job elsewhere. But if he struggles, he's looking at being a career backup.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight to have on your shoulders. I guess we're going to see how he handles it.
Definitely.
And I'm kind of in the middle on that because he's had so many offensive coordinators and all that stuff. So I kind of want to see what he does with Shanahan.
Well, it'll be
interesting. I'm definitely not expecting him to tear the league up, that's for sure. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
Do you think this whole Patriots thing is over? Because when I look at them, because they, you know, people throw out dynasty a lot. And when you really compare as far as, you know, what we've seen in the last few decades as far as the 49ers and the Cowboys, I don't see the Patriots in that same light. You know what I mean? I'm definitely not a Patriots fan. I don't want this to sound like it's, you know, hating on the Patriots or whatever.
Right.
I don't see them as that same type of thing as the 49ers were and the Cowboys were with the triplets. Same amount of titles, but.
Well, part of what I think, you know, some of the skepticism I definitely have is how much, I mean, we might not ever know the extent, but how much were they really bending the rules?
Yeah.
You know, they got caught, you know, there's all these, you know, theories about the Super Bowl against the Eagles and they were running screen passes every time they blitzed and stuff like that. And then the Colts said, you know, that game where they came back from being down 21-3, the Colts said they switched their signals at halftime and then they came back and won the game. So I, you know, a lot of that stuff, who knows if stuff like that's really true. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, but you know, you start to question that because ever since they got caught, they haven't done anything. You know, they haven't made it to the Super Bowl. So, and arguably they had even better talent for at least the first 2 years. You know, those first 2 years than they did when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, that team that went 16-0 was more talented than those teams that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I would argue balance for those other teams.
They had defense. They had defense on
those.
Defense,
great special teams. You remember Troy Brown returning all his punts? And
yeah.
K Kevin Falk would come in every third down and make a play. I mean,
I have a lot of
focus on anybody.
Yeah, Kevin Falk is a guy I have a lot of respect for. He's a guy that decided I know my limitations, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to try to go do something I can't do. And he's kept himself.
He could have tricked somebody into paying him, and
yeah.
would have been a big bust as a free agent.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he realized, look, this is comfortable. I like being here. I'll just stay here, and you know, he's pretty valuable in that spot. So.
Right. Yeah, but they're going to have to really rebuild, though. So I mean, we'll see what
they have,
do.
They have a lot of young guys. I mean, I remember they had a ton of picks last year in the draft. A whole bunch of them were in the second and third round.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if any of them are good.
Not to mention they got old Al Davis's pick. They got that first rounder from Al coming up. So
someone said that Al's going to go get Tebow. That would be so funny if he did. It would almost make too much sense, though. Just crazy Al. You know.
But the thing to me, though, is with Tebow, if I'm his agent and they call me, I say no.
Right.
Because he has to go somewhere to where I feel like he has to run a package as far as some kind of offensive scheme. He comes in every once in a while, runs whatever, and as he gets more comfortable, maybe he could be a starter later on. But you bring him in to try to run what you got, man, you're going to have a – It won't be a Jamarcus Russell situation because he won't handle himself like Jamarcus.
Right.
It'll be bad.
Right. Well, I think he's a guy. I mean, obviously he's not ready. He's not gonna be a rookie that starts. Anyone drafting him that expects him to start day one is stupid, and they're gonna ruin him. I mean, he's obviously not because he hasn't played in an NFL offense. So he needs time with that. Just like you know, Pat White is trying to get time with that with the Dolphins.
Right.
And you've seen when he's come in the game, he's looked a little uncertain. He's not sure what to do and stuff like that. So,
he's been able to make some plays, though, with his ability. And Tebow will be able to do the same thing.
Yeah,
but he just won't be running people over anymore.
Right, right.
I'm sure he'll know not to do that.
Right, yeah, he'll have to figure that out. But the only problem is that's more his M.O. than Pat White's. Pat White's more of a speedster, but Tebow is known for that, you know. Taking that contact and going. So, you know, that's something he won't be able to do quite as well. Although,
well,
I mean, obviously he'll be.
They can play that tape of Pat White getting hit for him, and maybe that'll convince him, okay, I might need to slide a little bit up here.
Right, right. that's a good point, yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I don't see how anyone won't pick Sue as the first pick.
I don't understand how
you could pass him up.
I'm sure.
You can get a veteran QB in free agency. You get Sue because you can't get a DT like him.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not a QB draft anyway. I mean, Bradford's there, and then maybe you look at Pike or somebody, but there's not a lot of QBs in this draft. For those that don't know, we do have the Speak It Like You Think It at WordPress.com. website, and today we just posted Craig Barzee's draft board. Craig's you know, very knowledgeable football guy, especially college football, but just put up his draft board today, and he definitely has Sue number one.
Yeah.
But you know, the draft is going to be real interesting this year because usually it's the whole everybody, you know, trying to make moves to try to get a quarterback like last year with Sanchez. And it's not going to be that this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, because those quarterback prospects are not there. Bradford's shaky, because of the injury history. And then after that, hell, everybody's got a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And I'm trying to think of who, what wasn't it? Yeah, Greg, do you see Greg Cooper? I wonder how he's out for next year.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes running back.
Yeah.
Because he looked like a guy that was set for an NFL career. I mean, we don't even know if he was going to stay in. I mean, he's a guy that could have left early. Probably would have got a decent pick. So that was tough.
I guess his whole motivation will be Frank Gore. Guy who's able to rebuild himself and get back to damn 100%.
Yeah, Gore stayed through his senior year, and he was able to. No, Gore left as a junior. Yeah, Coker was trying to keep him as a senior. But I think Wilt McGahee is a good example.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Of a guy that worked really, really hard, and he was able to convince teams that he was had that kind of work ethic, and that he'd be able to come back from the injury. So.
And did you see him have his little resurgence though, man? The end of the year, and then the playoff game yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a shame. His career is never going to be as good as it could have been without that injury. I mean, he turned out to be a good running back, you know. You look at his career, he's had, you know, what, 3,000 or 4,000-yard seasons. You know, he did good in Buffalo, and he did good that one year he started in Baltimore, and then they started to phase him out. But, you know, I don't think people realize just how good – I don't know if people really remember how good he was in college and how good he could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think that injury was so bad, I bet even no matter how much he rehabilitated, he's probably at most got back to 80% of his former skill.
Right.
And the fact that he only got to that point and still played in the NFL for several years, I mean, that's impressive. So.
Yep. So, I mean, I don't know. We got a lot to look forward to with the NFL now. I mean, we got the rest of the playoffs. And we got, you know, the off season, which has only gotten better within the, you know, last couple of years of how big the NFL has gotten. Feel like the off season is even exciting now, as much, you know, as goes on.
Right. Well, we're heading into the uncapped year too, right?
Right. Right. So.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects things.
Right. Somebody's going to spend a lot, and somebody's not going to spend a dime. So. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you got to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Well, yeah. Okay. Now here's something I wanted to talk about. The Browns.
Exactly.
What the heck are they doing? They're thinking of letting Cribs go. That
hey,
I mean,
man,
because
they don't want to pay the guy, man.
All he wants is $3 million a year. I mean, he's asking for $5 million, which means he would take $3 million probably, right? They're offering him $1.5 million a year. That's a joke.
I guess they're looking at it like, well, we got him signed for 2 more years. We're not redoing his contract. We're a bad team. We're not redoing anybody's contract. But
yeah, but The one of the better stories at the end of the year last, you know, the season was how the Browns played. You know,
yeah.
I give them a lot of respect. I mean, you can contrast them with the Giants, right? The Giants just laid down. But the Browns, you know, they had nothing left to play for, and they just played good football at the end. And a lot of that was Cribs. I mean, and of course Jerome Harrison too. But I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, what do you need that 1 point extra? So if you give him $3 million, you're losing 1.5 from what you were going to offer him. What are you going to get with that 1.5 that you just can't do without?
Well, it's not the money. It's the precedent. They don't want anybody else coming trying to get their contract redone. So they're going to take that hard line stance. And to be honest, they'd be better off just going ahead and trading Cribs and getting another pick and, you know, continue to build their roster.
Yeah, well, it depends
on.
I mean,
to keep him if you're not going to pay him.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's not going to play good next year. I guarantee you that. If they force him to stay there, he's not going to play good.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not going to. But
right,
I think he.
Get a pick.
Yeah. But the thing is how much are people going to trade? Because there are other teams probably thinking the same thing. You know, he's not. I mean, what role does he fill? He's a special teams player. How much are we going to trade for a special teams player? You know. But
yeah,
then
but he's
you
good
know,
value though, so I think somebody will do it.
Right. But yeah, I mean, he does so many different things though. I mean, he was a really good Wildcat quarterback too.
Yep.
So I mean, he played really good in that formation. So I don't know. I think it'd be a mistake for the Browns to not pay him that extra 1.5.
Yeah. Well, I think they're letting Jerome Harrison and everybody else know we are not redoing contracts. Or paying anybody, but changing this thing around. Holmgren's got his work cut out for him, man.
Yeah, he does.
Because that roster is devoid of, I mean, the talent on that roster, it's just not there.
Yeah.
And you still got the Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson situation.
Well, I don't see how that's a situation. I don't see how Derek Anderson ever gets a shot to play again. I really don't. I mean, that guy was so bad last year. That's one of the worst.
Are you saying because he put up one of the worst QB ratings that he shouldn't play again, sir?
No, I'm not saying, I mean, that he shouldn't. I mean, to me, I don't understand how Cleveland could come to the conclusion that he's the better option.
Right.
So, I mean, if they want to play him, I mean, you know, They want to
play. But the fact that they played him so many games in a row makes you say, well, maybe they are going to try something next year.
Yeah, I don't. But we know, everybody knows why they played him that many games. I mean, we don't have to.
The old Brady ain't getting no money.
Right. We don't have to pretend why they did that. That's exactly why. That's why, you know, in some ways, you know, baseball, you know, that wouldn't happen in baseball.
Right.
If a guy was playing that bad, you know, you got to pay him anyways. You got to pay Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn would have been in already because they were already paying him. He was all guaranteed, you know, if that was baseball. So you see, like, some of those guys, like the Yankees played that guy, what was the Qin Ming Wang or whatever? They played him as much as they could this year. He was terrible. But they're like, we're giving this guy $10 million a year. We got to
get some innings out of him.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the one thing about football. You know, I like the salary cap, but one of the drawbacks is that stuff like that comes up.
Yeah.
Where teams aren't
human quality to it.
Yeah. So.
I mean, before we get into the NBA, man, I know you're a baseball guy too, so I wanted to get one quick baseball question in before we get on to the basketball.
Okay.
That Cardinals signing, was that a good signing as far as giving him, what was it, 127?
I think I've missed this. Who did they sign?
Holiday.
Oh, okay. 127 over how many years?
I believe 7.
That's, I don't know, I think that's pretty good because, I mean, a pitcher of his caliber, I mean, you people pay a lot more than that for...
No, I mean, not Doc Holliday. I'm probably pronouncing the guy's name wrong. The guy from Colorado.
Oh, no. I don't know about that. That's a lot of money to give a guy like that. I'm wondering now what his adjusted rating, because, you know, he played in Colorado. But, you know, some people go based on OPS plus, which, you know, like normalize, it helps you figure out if a guy hitting in a hitter's park is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he really is that good or if he's overvalued because of the park he plays in.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, but I don't know if I would pay that much. I would pay that much for a pitcher. I thought you were talking about Holiday the pitcher.
No.
I would pay that much for him. I would definitely pay that much for him, but now, what do you think of the McGuire situation?
I'm not surprised, man. He's come out. For those that don't know, he came out today and finally admitted that he used steroids, like everybody didn't already know.
Yeah.
he's diffusing the situation before he gets to camp as their new hitting coach. So
yeah,
won't be much of a distraction.
One reason I'll give him a little credit, though, he's not one of the – because he never really lied about it, right? When he testified before Congress, he was like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it. He was noncommittal, and you know, he cited his lawyer, and I'm sure his lawyer did. If I was his lawyer, I would have told him to do the same thing, you know, because you don't know what they're going to try to – you don't know what they're going to try to do.
Why
did
he show up?
That's true. I mean, but the thing is, like, these other guys make me a little bit more mad. I'm not trying to defend him, but these other guys make me a little more mad by saying, no, I absolutely did not. I did. You know, it's like,
right.
Like, come on. I mean, it's like, you know, don't lie. I mean, Rafael Palmeiro was probably the worst. He testified at the same hearing, and he was, like, furious that they were even asking him this stuff. He was, like, so, you know. So, and then he ended up testing positive, so it was –
Yeah,
but
that was insane, man. Since we're in Atlanta, what'd you think of the trade the Braves made to get Melky out here? They sent.
Well, they needed that. They needed that badly, and they had six pitchers, right? And they tried to trade Derek Lowe. Yeah, but nobody wanted him, and it's. I mean, obviously, you know, if you see them trying to deal Lowe, you know they're probably gonna not get anything for him, so. You're waiting for them to deal with Vasquez because you knew everyone knew it was going to be one of those two because they're already paying Hudson and they got two young guys that they're not paying anything, so it had to be one of these other guys. So anyone would take Vasquez over Lowe. So I mean it was a good trade. They had a guy they had to get rid of. It may, you know, Vasquez had like a career year last year, so maybe they're selling high on him. So and they needed a center fielder badly. That was like their outfield was miserable last year. That was the thing that held them back. Their staff was so good last year, but they just couldn't score runs. They couldn't score runs at all. They had terrible. I mean, they tried that rookie to start at center field at the beginning of the year, and he Jordan Schaefer, and he was gone like in a month.
Yeah.
He was hitting like 190. He hit a home run in his first at bat, and it was like, oh, look at this. And then he was hitting like 190 at the end of the month, and they were like, oh, crap. So, yeah, I mean, they definitely needed that. I'm still mad they didn't go after Adam Dunn, though, the year before when he was a free agent, and they let, you know, the Nationals get him.
You're right. Value
you know, he would have. What?
It's a value signing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
he.
The kind of stuff you got to do.
It would have been a lot. It would have been a lot, but he's there and they win the division that last
right.
year. I'm confident they would have. Unless you figure if they had signed him, they wouldn't have got Vasquez or someone. But I mean, if you want to win, you got to spend. So that's the name of the game in baseball. If you're not willing to do that, then you don't be surprised when you're not winning. You know.
Right. Okay. I mean, let's get into basketball a little bit.
All right.
Have you seen the kid from Kentucky much? John Wall.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. The kid looks better than Derrick Rose did at the time when Derrick was at Memphis. So, I mean, definitely he's going to be the number one pick, so it looks like he'll be going out to one of these bad teams, Toronto or New Jersey or wherever.
Right.
But, yeah, he definitely looks like the real deal.
Well, that'll be it. Yeah, that's pretty cool. We'll see what goes on there. Yeah, it's interesting how Kentucky rebuilt themselves. They were like if they had that huge scandal before Patino got there.
Yeah.
And they started to rebuild themselves. Now that's an interesting thing though. Patino's now in Louisville.
Yeah.
How do you coach and how do you start with one team and then go to their rival? I don't understand that.
But and the silliest thing about it was if he would have sat out 1 year, he could have came back to Kentucky after they got Chubby out of there. He could have came right back.
Right.
But he was too
That'd
eager
like,
to take a job.
Can you imagine Spurrier going to Florida State? I mean, that would just be like, what's going on there?
Twilight Zone type stuff, man.
Yeah.
As far as the NBA, man, I guess basically we got four teams or three teams who really got a shot to win it. Who do you think can really knock the Lakers off? Or do you think it's just inevitable the Lakers are going to put up another banner this year?
I don't know. I mean, the Lakers sometimes look a little weak. Of course, usually it's without Gasol. So when Gasol's in there, they're pretty strong. But I've seen them play, and maybe I'm just watching them at the wrong times. But some of the games, they're not looking that good. You know, they just look like there are a lot of holes that teams could exploit. And I don't think the Cavs can do it.
Oh, hell no.
They're not going to do it because Shaq's not going to be able to do much in the middle. He's not going to help too much.
You didn't give up anything to get him. It's just I don't think Shaq's not a problem. He's just another asset, but he's not a big asset like he used to be.
Well, he's not the answer.
Danny Ferry's team building.
Right. No, I mean, I'm not trying to knock Shaq. I mean, it wasn't a bad signing, but he wasn't the answer, right? And they got him, and it's like, this is our big signing we finally got for LeBron, and it's not enough, you know?
And this is LeBron's fault because they said Trevor Ariza kept asking him, well, I mean, are you going to stay?
Yeah.
And LeBron wouldn't make that commitment to him. You know, he didn't want to show his hand early. So, I mean, if he makes that commitment to Ariza and they bring in Ariza, they got a shot to win it all. But without
him. Yeah, definitely. You see the way, I mean, Ariza has really impressed me the way he's played this year, so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, that was one of the dumbest things you could have done, Kupchak bringing in Artest and letting Ariza walk.
Yeah.
I've never heard of trading in new for old.
Right.
Athletic used to be athletic. That's crazy.
Plus, Artest has some negatives where he sometimes can really take. I mean, he's great. He's a great defender, but I mean, how much is he going to be able to keep that up now that he's getting older? But I mean, sometimes he just when he gets the ball in his hands, you know, you're like, what are you doing, man? And I saw that last year when he was with the Rockets, and that was a really good series with the Rockets and Lakers last year. But there were times when he was just killing them.
Bad breeze,
over
dribbling, yeah.
Yeah,
and
so,
he's not
I mean,
the defender he was. He's a great defender now in the post, But as far as the wing players, the Brandon Roys and the LeBrons, the guys you're supposed to chase, you can't keep up with them anymore. So
right. And
I
and
think
part,
you
part
lost
of,
a little.
Part of the thing is, like, you know, Ariza, I mean, Ariza, like, he's more – as opposed to, like, being a good one-on-one defender, he seems to be good at making – as a playmaking defender. You know, he'll take chances you might score on him. But that's okay because Lakers can come back and score.
Yeah.
You know, if you play like a slow paced offense, you can't have stuff like that. But when you have the offense that the Lakers have, you can have a guy that gets chances, and then a couple of those chances pay off. Suddenly, you're up by eight. You know.
Yeah, because you're putting pressure on teams.
Yeah, so I think Ariza would have been is a better fit. I just think Artest is just not a bad good fit for that team because they don't need anyone taking shots away. I mean, Kobe certainly doesn't want anyone taking shots away. So.
Right.
I mean, they've got enough.
To bring Bynum along, so yeah.
I mean, between Kobe and Gasol, they got enough. That's enough points, you know. The rest of the people just get like whatever's left over. But Kobe and Gasol, that should be the focus of the team. And I just think with Artest there, that kind of takes away from that some. So I think I think Artest could be their Achilles heel in the playoffs. So we'll see how that goes.
It could actually happen like that. It could actually happen because and then when we go to the east side and look at your team, the Celtics, if they're healthy, I definitely would put money on them. They can do it. They can beat the Lakers. But if they limp into the playoffs, you know it'll be over for them, and it might be a closing of that window of that big three. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, Ray Allen's had a few good, really good games lately, but yeah, I don't know how much more. I mean, and I think I don't think they're going to keep Allen. I mean, this is the last year, isn't it?
Yep.
I think this is the last year he signed. So, I mean, are they going to keep him on the roster even?
Yeah, but you got to think about the kind of guy Allen is. Ray Allen he knows he'll never see a contract like the one that's ending now. So.
Yeah,
you never know
true.
What type of money he'll take to stay in Boston. So
that's true. Yeah, he might just stay because, I mean, he wanted to be there in the first place, you know, because that's near the area where he's from. So he kind of, and that's part of why they were able to help get him there, you know, because he always wanted to play for the Celtics.
Right.
So I think
that'll be a good thing.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if they can stay healthy, but I mean, I was amazed. There was a lineup they had one game where Ray Allen was the only one of the big three that was playing, and even Rondo wasn't playing. Rondo didn't start, Perkins didn't start, and they beat Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the craziest lineup I've ever seen.
And people always try to knock Doc Rivers as far as coaching. Doc Rivers is a great NBA coach.
Yeah.
People get it confused with the NBA because the NFL coaching is about strategy and then motivation.
Right.
The NBA is the other way around. It's motivation first, then strategy. Doc Rivers, you definitely wouldn't say he's a great strategic coach.
Right.
But in the NBA, motivation is way more important, and he's great at that. So.
Right, and that's the thing. Like,
a good coach.
People harp on Van Gundy. You know, a lot of his strategic errors, and he did make some last year. But he's obviously a good motivator. I mean, Orlando beat Cleveland, and I don't think last year Orlando was more talented than Cleveland.
Right.
I think they beat Cleveland. No, well, they weren't four games to one more talented, you know. I mean, they shouldn't have won like that. And I mean, really it should have been a sweep. I mean, cuz LeBron hits a crazy three.
Yep.
To avoid it from being a sweep. So it's like but yeah, I mean, he made some, you know, mental errors. Van Gundy obviously did, where he didn't foul when they were up by three. I still don't understand that. But
yeah.
That was awful.
That's the old school Pat Riley coming out in him.
Yeah, and that's something that Doc does. Doc will not let you shoot that three.
Those old school guys, and they don't want to foul. They want to say we can get a stop. But
right. But
not
the
smart play anymore.
You might still need to get the stop if you miss a free throw, you know, because it comes down to a free throw shooting contest. So I never understood people that are stubborn like that, you know, just make the smartest play, and if you need to get a stop, then get a stop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see that, like, you know, just an analogy with football sometimes. I see teams let another team milk the whole clock out when they're driving and they're already in field goal range. At some point, you got to let them score.
Yeah.
You're going to let them take it down to 1 second and then kick the field goal. But then people are like, oh, no, you can't just let a team score. You have too much pride. You're going to lose. So I don't understand
that. And bringing back last night, I have to give it to McCarthy, man. He made a good use of the clock that last drive before the Arizona kicker blew that chip field
right.
goal. Because they
right.
used as much time as they could on that last drive while still being aggressive. But
right.
they were using as much time as they could, man.
Yeah.
But even though Arizona was able to, you know, get down the field real quick and kick a chip shot and the guy miss it, but Green Bay did the right thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think McCarthy is a good coach. I think they're going to be good. But back to the NBA, I think it'll be interesting to see if the Celtics can stay healthy. I mean, they have depth this year, and that's going to help them stay healthy. It's not just going to help them. I mean, people say, oh, well, you need depth in case someone gets injured, but the depth helps you avoid injuries because your
right.
starters aren't on the floor as long. I mean, Glenn Davis coming back is huge. That's going to help KG. That's going to help Sheed. That's going to help Perkins. You know, they're going to be good. They're going to be able to rest those guys. And last year, they weren't, you know. Last year, you know, Pierce was playing tons of minutes last year. I think, you know, at the end, I think the Celtics were just exhausted at the end because Orlando just killed them in that last game. It was pretty bad. And I think had nothing left.
The only reason it got as far as it did was out of pride. I mean, they were.
Yeah.
That team was decimated. There was no reason for them to take
yeah.
Orlando as far as they did. That
right.
was a lot of pride that they showed in
yeah.
extending that series. But, yeah, we'll see a lot, man. And they're going to have to cut Rasheed's minutes, man. And speaking of Rasheed, man, I ran into that guy down here, man, 2 years ago, man.
Oh, really?
In a Walgreens at that. I was getting off of work. I was looking for something over in the little hair section, and I turn around. What the hell? It's Rasheed Wallace in there. And he said, hey, man, you know where the do-rags are, man? Like, nah, man, I don't know, man. Oh. All right. And he started moving. People started kind of harassing him for autographs, and he left the store in a huff, went and sat in the car. I guess his cousin or whoever it was looked for stuff for him. But, yeah, it's kind of weird to run into Rasheed Wallace in Walgreens.
Yeah, that's pretty that's a pretty good story. But, yeah, I mean, he needs to stop shooting so many outside shots.
Yeah, he does, but, I mean, that's what he is now, man. He's not going to post up much, man. That's what he's going to do. He's going to shoot that three and that little mid-range at the top of the key.
Well, he had a great game.
The good part is that he's spreading the floor for you guys, though.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is, and that's helping. You know, Rondo just keeps playing better. And I'm still amazed that the Celtics were able to extend Rondo for the same deal that that the Pistons got Ben Gordon.
No.
I mean, it was essentially the same deal. That's amazing.
That's not an amazing thing as far as on the Celtics part. That just showed how bad the signing was of that.
Oh no, that's what I mean. Yeah,
Gordon.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just like the Pistons had all this money and that's what they got. It's just like, you got to be really embarrassed. I think sometimes, you know, you see teams and you're like, man, why did they not get anybody? They had all this money. I mean, sometimes that might be why. They don't want to get, they don't want to get guys that aren't good. Just because you have money doesn't mean you tie up into long-term contracts. Maybe you wait till the year next year, you know?
Right.
So,
you
I mean, that
boatload of money and you come back with Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva.
Right. It's like, wow.
I still can't believe Dumars did that, but hey, they're stuck with it now, man. I guess all they can do now is wait on Kevin Durant and hope.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing they got going for them. But, man, but before we get out of here, man, was there anything else you wanted to just speak on real quick?
One thing I want to mention is it was interesting because I was one of the people that was most adamant about like how upset I was that the Gators got that the Seminoles got the Gator Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them credit. They, you know, they proved me wrong. I mean, they beat West Virginia. But I think, and I'm giving a compliment in some ways, it's also a criticism because they did that last year. I mean, they've done that the last few years. There were games where they just looked so good And I think that just points out even more points out a flaw of Bowden's coaching in the last 2 years, because they had talent. The talent wasn't lacking. He was still recruiting. He was still getting people to come there. And you saw what they did to BYU this year. I know BYU wasn't that great this year, but I mean, come on, they just killed them, you know. And there are times when a team just has so much talent that, you know, no matter what the coaching is, they just overwhelm another team. And you saw that with when Georgia beat Georgia Tech, right? You know, Georgia struggled this year, but Georgia has some real men on that team. You know, they're a real good physical team. And sometimes you just that's too much for another team to overcome, no matter how talented they are in other areas.
Right. They just ran the ball down their throat. They couldn't do anything about it.
Yep. And I'm kind of concerned about, you know, I've been supportive of Randy Shannon. But, you know, next year he's got to show up, because he's not going to have much better opportunity than next year. Next year he's going to have Ja'Cory Harris back. Ja'Cory will be a junior, right? So he's probably going to go after Ja'Cory's probably going to go to the NFL after next year,
right?
Unless he doesn't have a very good year. But, you know, and a lot of the other guys are going to be looking to go. He's got a young team. Most of the guys will be back. They'll be a thin at running back, because they're losing their top two. But the third string guy they got, Damon Berry, is really good. He had some really good games this year. But next year is the year he's got to prove something. I mean, he's got some leeway. He's got some leeway so far. But next year, I don't see how he can really have any excuses anymore. It's sort of like with Charlie Weiss. Everyone was like, oh, next year, next year, next year. And they said that for so many years.
Yep.
After a while, it's like... You know, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, how many years? So, I mean, I'll get, but I mean, the one thing that worries me about Randy Shannon the most is there were games this year where the Canes lost to teams that were not as good. First, Wisconsin was not more talented than Miami. And one way you can tell is, I remember during the bowl games this year, they were ESPN was showing like little graphics underneath the screen, and they were showing draft projections for the teams,
right.
And like, you know, they were like Ja'Cory Harris is the number five running back, or someone was the Sharpton was like the number five linebacker, or something like that. And they listed like 9 Canes players. You know, they weren't all necessarily going to be drafted, because some were like 15th. You know, so they might be just free agents. But only 2 Wisconsin guys were even listed. So it's like Wisconsin was not more talented. There's no reason they should have beat the Canes in that game. And then there was the North Carolina game. There was the Wake Forest game that they had to pull out of their butts, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just like when you see a coach lose to teams that are worse, that's when you get a little worried. So we'll see what happens. And he, you know, you see Mark Whipple looks like he's staying around. So I wonder if he's kind of hedging his bets.
Right.
That if Randy doesn't turn around next year, he might be getting the offer.
Yeah, a friend of mine who I had on last week, his view is they should have done it this year. That he said basically another year of Shannon is basically a waste of year. He was pretty high on it to begin with, but now he's to the point where he says, I mean, they're definitely regressing, and it's a big mistake to keep them around. It's great for recruiting, but as far as coaching on the field, it's definitely a big mistake. He's already done with them. So I know you're a Miami guy, and you're saying one more year, and after that, you're done. So
I was mad this year. There were games I was really, really mad this year. So, but you know, I know they're still pretty young. So we'll see. I mean, people forget, you know, Butch Davis. Butch Davis, you know, he had 5 years where he lost – 5 straight years he lost to Florida State. 5 straight years he lost to Virginia Tech. It took him a while to turn it around. But then the thing you also have to realize is Randy Shannon came in a better situation than Butch Davis. Butch Davis had a whole bunch of scholarships that were taken away. He was recruiting like half the scholarships that other teams were recruiting. And he was able to build – you know, he was able to convince guys like Edger and James and stuff like that to go there. So – Randy
well, not
Shannon.
To mention those other teams were already established too. I mean,
really,
when you look at it, the only team down there he should be losing to is Florida.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those other guys, I mean, hell, it's hard to justify those other losses, man.
Right, and you know, and he got some credit. It helped that they got that good start. They were 3-1, but then that 3-1 didn't look so good, you know, as the season wore on, because Florida State wasn't good, Oklahoma wasn't that good, you know. So it's like, what? And then Virginia Tech even didn't end up being that good, the team they lost to. So, you know, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, that they were 3-1, but that's considered good because those teams are supposed to be good from the beginning. So they just ended up, you know, with another four loss season. If they have to have, like, I think they need to play in the ACC championship next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what'll save his job. And to be honest, like you said, that goes back to that whole preseason ranking argument.
Yeah.
Of some of those guys they were playing, they were just rated high before the season, but when it came time to on the field, you got to see that these teams aren't that good.
Yeah.
Even with a
healthy they struggled with some
Oklahoma
of them. I mean, they barely beat Oklahoma. They barely beat FSU, you know. So
yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I hope he succeeds. I like him. I don't think I don't hate him, you know. I'm not going to start a fire Randy Shannon website, you know.
Right.
But I like a lot of what he's done. He's done a lot to try to rebuild the team, but it might be time for someone else to come take charge.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe Whipple's the guy. I don't think they would necessarily be hurt too much in recruiting with Whipple because Whipple has so much respect now. He's like the biggest, you know, star, you know, offensive coordinator star. And if he wanted, I mean, if he wanted a job, he certainly could have got it this offseason.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
he's
sure.
He's doing the right thing, though. He's waiting. Yeah. The Miami job might be there or another big job might open.
Yeah.
He's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he wanted to have another year with Ja'Cory, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. And it would be good for Ja'Cory. Ja'Cory, he started off good, and he started throwing picks at the end. So if he can cut down on the picks, then that'll really, really help.
Yeah. Well, sir, thanks for your time, man, coming on. I really appreciate you blessing the show, man, with your knowledge, man. Once again,
no problem.
This is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I was joined today by Mr. Larry McGillicuddy. And definitely hope to have you back soon, man.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Speak It Like You Think It Radio. Speak It Like You Think It Radio at WordPress.com. Also, you know, check the website. Check out the draft board. See how we're moving people up and down. But we'll definitely be back next week. Check us out. All right, man. Have a good one, man.
Oh, thanks, man. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right. I'll catch you later.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Peace.